I would assume that in developing a financial model based on people that you are likely, or licensees that are likely to pay over certain amounts to you, or having collected certain amounts, you would have maybe projected that in the worst case scenario, this is where we would be, and in the best case scenario, this is where we would be. That is excluding passenger safety charges, but as it relates to your licensees, wouldn't you have maybe projected what can the airspace of us take? So who will be your clientele and how many would you foresee? So now if they are running short or they are closing down, how would you have planned to mitigate that risk? Because I would assume in your financial modeling you would have factored that risk that is there. Chair, thank you very much. That would be the last one. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mann, Honorable McDonald.
Chair, thank you. Thank you for the presentation by the South African Civil Aviation Authority. I was mostly covered by the previous honorable speaker. I think that the way that I see it is that currently you are battling to be paid, in a nutshell. And we need to find a way to ensure the stability and financial well-being of the entity at the end of the day. And I wholly agree with that we, if possible, that we can amend some places where airlines definitely operators need to pay within 21 days. I don't think that is a major issue here or there. But maybe to stipulate a bit more of a penalty structure, maybe in my opinion, for airlines that do fail to pay within 21 days, that we have a clear structure on what the penalties would be for non-compliance. Rather than grounding an airline, rather let them, people get hurt way more with their checkbooks than just a normal grounding. And then I can see you're busy positioning yourself nicely regarding the business rescue and liquidations in the current financial predicament with the aviation industry is at the moment. And I agree that the South African Civil Aviation Authority should be like SARS and be a preferred secured creditor. And we must find a way in the current legislation to maybe make sure that all money is owed to you, delivering one of the most essential services to this country is done. That's my submission, Chair. Thank you very much.
Asithokoze Mhlonishwa.
Ngithokoze khulu Sihlalo. Ngithokoze ithuba. I just have a few questions as well. I think from the funding model, is this the only source of funding for SACA? Because, one looking at the figures, this amounts to about 92.3% of revenue. It's not a 100% representation from the percentages. Now, in terms of the other percentages, I think it's about 7.7%, if I'm not mistaken. Where is the source coming from? Or is it part of the grants that you get from the DOT? If that's the case, why was not it listed as part of your revenue sources or part of your revenue streams? Because this is an illustration of the revenue streams that SACA gets. So that only accounts for 92.3%. Also, what I want to find out is, since you're proposing that you be a preferential creditor in terms of the Insolvency Act, in the event that, in the unfortunate event where an airline goes under, what's the percentage of operators at the moment, in the past 12 months, that have failed to pay SACA within the stipulated 21 days? In terms of the, because what I want to establish, a trend. If these operators are doing that in large numbers, or it's just a few culprits that must be dealt with quickly, and the issue needs to be nipped in the bud before it becomes a potential crisis. Now, also to venture in the same issue again on you being a preferential creditor, like in the unfortunate event that an airline fails, have you at all canvassed this issue with Treasury? Or have you canvassed this issue with any of the affected stakeholders, your NCR, or any other institution that would be affected by you being declared a preferential creditor in terms of the Insolvency Act? Because, as my colleague said, the first speaker, from our side, we can hope to influence the process, but certainly we're not a catalyst to the process. You know, so in that sense, what I want to find out is there any, have you petitioned them at all? Lastly, Chair, and also, who does the collection on behalf of SACA from the passenger safety charges that they need to pay it over to you? Because if it's a company like a debt collector, I'm just making an example, there is a service level agreement that you will have with them that they need to honor, that you must ensure, you must go and get my money to, well, not that other my money, but my money to all those that owe me during this time. And if you don't, then perhaps I need to review your service level agreement with me. Where's the relationship there? Or are the monies being paid over to DOT, to Treasury? And in your opinion, because I see that obviously you have enlisted it here, and I'm hoping that I can ambush you here, is how best can ASIP be funded? The funding model that would be, that SACA you would be most comfortable with, because at the moment we are trying by all means to remove the AIID from you, make it a complete separate structure from you. In that sense, I think ASA, AASA, they were also petitioning us to say the cost charges must not be transferred to them in terms of once the ASIP has been established, that we pass the buck to them, that, okay, you guys, you're going to pick up the bill. Now, that's their wish. What is your wish? What is it that you would like to see? How best can ASIP be funded? And in terms of what we want to achieve, because I can tell you from my side, I would want a situation where ASIP is completely independent from SACA. I think, Chair, that was my deposition. Thank you.
Chair and your team, you now can respond.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I have recorded about 8 questions, the bulk of which I will request these 8 to respond to. We have Prof here, we've got our legal department as well. I just want to partially respond to the second question, which was about whether the existing legal instruments, in the form of, amongst others, the Insolvency Act, wouldn't be sufficient to address the issue of failure to pay into SACA in cases of liquidation or economic hardships. The question, and I must thank Honorable MacDonald, he partially came to our rescue. Thank you so much. What we should bear in mind, it's we're not dealing with an ordinary debt. It's basically money collected on behalf of SACA. And all we're saying is it can be treated as an ordinary debt, and that the new legislative framework should appreciate the distinctness of the monies that should be handed over to SACA. The Insolvency Act may not be adequate to appreciate this debt of a special kind. And it's for that reason that we're saying that, similar to SARS, as Honorable MacDonald has put it, there should be an appreciation of the fact that this is pretty distinct. To my knowledge, on a lighter note, Honorable Mang, there is no legal instrument without an exception, and maybe this could be applicable in this case. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. The question relating to what was our interaction with the Department of Transport relating to the current bill, and wouldn't these have been raised with the department directly? So as I indicated earlier, Chair, that from the onset, when the bill was the Act was amended, and now it is a bill, we have been part of the process. But given where the progress that had been made and where the bill was when it was published for comments by the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, we deemed it appropriate between ourselves and the DOT that this should be the process we follow. So the specific branch that we would normally engage with for such matters, we thought this was the best vehicle to use. But we have been very much in contact with the department, including about the submission that is now before the portfolio the committee. I'm going to ask my legal colleagues to respond on the legal tool that we are using at the moment to collect fees in the event that there is no payment. I think they will expand better. But the reason why we are proposing these amendments is because we have close to none at this point in time. So it becomes important that we get a legal instrument which will enable us. But there are things that we have in place at the moment. Babalu.
don't disorganize the young lady. We understand when you come here for the first time, it's always like this. So let's assist the process.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, members of the Portfolio Committee. Currently, the CAA is funded through the user pay principle. The current act that is being amended in terms of Section 74 talks about the funding model that we're currently following. So our funds come from, as it has been said, user fees, fuel levies, and passenger safety charges. The operators, so the passenger pays a certain levy, but is collected through the ticket that we all pay by the operator, the airlines. So the airlines, in terms of our regulations, are supposed to pay over that money to the CAA within 21 days. And that's where the legislative framework ends. There is no vehicle that says that if the airlines fail to pay us, what must we do? There's no vehicle that talks to issues of insolvency or business rescue. So what we are pleading with the Portfolio Committee to consider is now a vehicle that is going to allow, firstly, a speedy, to ensure that, firstly, those monies are reinvested and are secured through a trust account. Should there be issues of non-payment, there should be some form of a penalty that, or some form of a vehicle which will enable us to penalize those that do not pay over that amount. And thirdly, we are saying, should there be business rescue or insolvency, we must be considered to be a preferential creditor. Because the issues of insolvency are currently under the Insolvency Act, we are proposing that we have a schedule in the bill that will talk to the amendment of Section 94, actually, of the Insolvency Act, so that we are categorized, like SARS is categorized, as a preferential creditor. Because in essence, this is a form of a tax to the passenger. It's not the money that belongs to an airline. And as such, it should be transmitted smoothly to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Babalwa. The other question was, I think the penalty structure you've spoken about, Babalwa. The funding model, is this the only funding, and where do we derive the other 7%? I'll allow the senior manager of finance.
Thank you, DCA. Just on the funding model, indeed, when I look at the slide presentation now, it adds up to 92.3%. The 7.7% that is missing here, sir, is made up out of interest that we get and other various incomes. And then there's also what is now termed as a service fee, which previously was termed a grant that we get from Department of Transport that is earmarked for the Accidents and Incidents Investigation Division. That is in the region of about 30 million rand currently, and that basically covers the direct operating costs, including salaries of the members in the current dispensation. Thanks, DCA.
Thank you. I would also ask you to answer the question about what's the percentage of operators that have failed to pay within 21 days in the previous year.
Currently, a big percentage of operators pay within the 21 days. I don't have specific statistics with me currently. The problem is more and more as the economic situation in the country is deteriorating, we're getting more and more operators that are struggling to pay. It's not only local operators, it's also foreign operators that actually act into our country. And from those foreign operators as well, it is increasingly difficult from a legal standpoint to recover the passenger safety charges from them. Hence the situation that we're currently asking from, and also from lessons that we learned in the past to try to recover that. The committee might be well aware of failures that happened in the aviation industry, going all the way back to the one-time airlines and nationwide airlines, Fly Blue Crane, a long list of these. So we're looking forward, and that's a proposal that we put on the table to make sure that the taxes that we collect, public money, is recovered in these instances. Thanks, DCA.
Thank you, Andres. The other next question was, have we canvassed the issue of being preferential creditor with other institutions? I think the honourable member had made mention, if I'm not mistaken, of CSR. Or other institutions, if we've petitioned them. As far as I know, no, we have not, because we thought that putting it in the Civil Aviation Act could preferably be the right way to go about it. Again, having looked at other institutions, I think the Honourable MacDonald made mention of SARS. So when we had a discussion together with the department, we thought it would be appropriate to have it in our act. One, because as the chairperson indicated of the board of SACA, this is money that so the airlines are mainly a conduit. This money does not belong to them. They ought to pass it over to the Civil Aviation Authority within 21 days. And in some instances, particularly when they face difficulties, you find that there are delays in payment, or sometimes when they are liquidated or under business administration or business rescue, then, you know, we don't get that payment. Perhaps if there is a need for us maybe to have this discussion, I'm sure it's something that we can discuss. But that we had not done. We thought it would be a simple transaction to have it in our act. There was another question, who collects the passenger safety charge for CAA? It is the operators, the airlines in particular. As we did indicate earlier, as the passenger buys a ticket, the passenger safety charge is already embedded on the ticket price. But the portion of it then belongs to the Civil Aviation Authority, which is about 24 rand. Huh? Yeah, it's about 24 rand, which needs to be passed over to the Civil Aviation Authority. So it's a legal requirement, and there are no specific service level agreements in place. Yeah, it's a matter of collection, and it's consistent with international best practice as well. How best can ASIP be funded? I would rather leave that to the Department of Transport perhaps to answer. Safe to say that we do get an allocation from the DOT under the current regime of the AID, which is the Accident Incident Investigation Division, of about 30 million per annum. So already in terms of the functional or the core business of Accident Investigation Department, that is funded by the Department of Transport. Whether it is a model that can be used henceforth, I think that will be left to be seen as we roll over the if the bill is approved as is, perhaps to look at whether that gets strengthened or there are other options in place available. Chairperson, I think those were the questions. I don't think I left in. Thank you, Chair.
I can see the mic that side. Do you want to say something? The lady? You want to say something? Oh. Okay. That's it. I think we've heard you. we will treat this presentation like any other presentation going forward as we deliberate. We will remember what you have said. We have documents with us. And thank you very much for availing yourself for this hearing. You want to say something, Chair?
I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you again.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I think this brings us to the point where we want to say to everybody we had invited, we had a fruitful discussion. We'll try and take forward. Yesterday we were able to table successfully two bills as early as we are. And we hope that we'll find each other also in this bill and contribute to the positive development of South Africa as a country. And we'll keep on working together as much as we can. And by so saying, allow me to declare this meeting officially closed. I hope I'm using the correct English because there are lawyers here and professors. So the meeting is officially closed. Thank you.